The Cricket Podcast.
I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast with me, Jack Hope, Ross Legg.
We're back, baby.
And Macho Brown.
Hello, baby.
This week on the Cricket Podcast, we'll be talking about England's T20 exploits in New Zealand recently. We'll be looking forward to the exciting two-match test series that they've got coming up.
You sound excited.
I am excited. We're going to see people in action that we've not seen in action before. and we'll be taking a look at everything else that's happened in cricket in the last month or so. We've had quite a lot. We've had some T20 qualifiers. We've had India smashing everyone. Shakib's been a naughty boy.
Yeah.
Plenty to get into. Before we do that, while I was looking into some of these topics, some of them are quite interesting in and of their own right. The Shakib story particularly. But cricket as a whole, I think after the summer where we had the World Cup and then the Ashes, it's a little bit, it feels like the narrative has gone. I don't know which direction cricket's going in. With the World Cup and the Ashes, they were easy to grasp ideas for me to get my head around. We go and we try and win that cup. You play loads of group matches, everyone gets a little bit bored, then you beat Australia, and then you have a final. Like I understood that, it was going to be at Lord's, I knew the date. Similarly with the Ashes, I knew where we were going to be, I knew where the team were going to be, I knew when to turn the TV on, I knew when to turn the TV off. I knew what the rules were, I knew who the players were. Now, I don't know where I stand.
And you know what the reward was going to be, right? It's kind of like going to university, and then you tee up everything to do your exams, and you have all of this pressure on, and like you finally do well, you get a good grade, you're knackered after going to university, and what do people like Joe Root do? They go and have a gap year, don't they, Max?
They do, yeah. That's what I think this narrative is all about, Ross. I'm glad that you've. I'm glad that you agree. Actually, I'm glad that you're thinking along the same lines.
So the pair of you, your opinion on this is that the narrative of the next series, the narrative of this podcast, is England's gap year.
Yeah, yeah. It's a story of regeneration, recuperation. You know, it's like it's been a summer full of pressure.
Yeah.
There's been two massive tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, if the media got on people's backs, it's been intense, there have been great games, there's been exciting finishes to games, you know, Ben Stokes heroics, all the rest of it. And everyone just needs to calm down and reassess. And, you know, at the end of it all, we had Bayliss leaving as coach and Silverwood's taken over. We've got to find a new identity. We've got to find ourselves again. That's what a gap year is all about. I envisage England going over to New Zealand. You've got Joss Butler's taking his guitar out there. They're all around the fire, having a little sing-song. Kumbaya, you know. Jason Roy, by the way, has got a lovely voice.
What on earth is this story about? And, Jason Roy's not even there.
No, that's right.
I'm fully bought into this. I want to hear more about this.
Jason Roy is there just for his singing.
Okay.
Just to keep spirits up in the camp, you know. Yeah. You've got people go, it's like, you know, I fully expect Johnny Bairstow to get drunk and get lost on Bondi Beach.
Yeah, he's going to do something.
Somehow he's going to end up in Australia despite being in New Zealand.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him.
So, I mean, in this anecdote, are you talking about all of the New England players going abroad together and it being like a gap year and so they're all their individuals? Or are you thinking the England team are like one self and so maybe Dom Sibley will be the yoga to the England cricket team,
but sort of embodying the recovery.
Yes. Not so much that, but like you go away on your gap year and you have British values. You think, I don't know. I mean, like Joe Denley will open the batting. Then you go away and then you discover a new idea, and that for 18-year-olds in Britain might be yoga. Let's say, for the England cricket team, that could be Dom Sibley.
Yeah,
it could be Matt Parkinson.
Yeah,
it's highly unlikely to be Matt Parkinson.
or another way, maybe there's a new skill, like bungee jumping. Matt Parkinson could be bungee jumping.
So it seems to me.
See where I'm going with
it? It seems to me like the ECB were just like, do you know what, boys? You've had a hell of a summer. You've made us so much money.
Yeah,
go and have a jolly in New Zealand.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I think my main concern with that is that Joe Root comes back with another beard.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Well, I just think Joe Root has got like the third regeneration of his test career. Like that's when he kind of first got it, and then it wasn't his team when he got absolutely hammered, so he kind of got a bit more good authority around the team.
He's suggesting got start he's a again. Time lord.
So to build on this narrative slightly, I think I can see a parallel here because we had original Joe Root. He was a young boy under Flower.
A fresher, if you will.
Well, I would say earlier than that. I would say that's GCSE Joe.
Right, GCSE Joe.
He's been given no responsibility. We don't know how good he is yet.
Joe CSE.
So, fucking hell, mate. Already? We're only 5 minutes in. And you're addressing that.
That's late for me.
We've got GCSE Joe under Andy Flower. Then we've got A-level Joe under Trevor Bayliss. He's growing into the man he could be.
Okay.
Now he's going away on his gap year. He's going to maybe do some reading.
Oh, so he's doing it before.
Yeah, well, like, yeah. So this.
Chris, so my whole thing was
Chris
it was
Silverwood.
After.
So I know. Chris Silverwood is the reading he's going to do before he goes.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that's dangerous. So, but I guess.
It's a common
no, I mean, that's
he's
a good
reading
point.
The Das Kapital of the cricket well, world
gonna,
is Chris Silverwood.
What we're going to find out is what Joe Root would be reading on his gap year. Is Chris Silverwood going to be, you know, the textbooks that he needs to read before he goes and does his degree, or is he going to be the Unabomber's manifesto and completely
could be
lose
that.
It?
Could be. I mean, like, if it was anything like my university, it'd probably be Ernest fucking Hemingway. But
what I love about this is that we've already established that you need to be a diehard cricket fan with a weird sense of humour to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
With
I
that, believe that's the milieu we were going for.
Right, we've got some serious business. Ross, I think you're going to talk about the test team, but that's not going to be straight away. Max, we're going to put a jingle on to remind ourselves of the hedonistic days of 2019. The 5-match T20 series. Is that right?
Correct.
This ended apparently in the early hours of Saturday morning with the all-rounder capsizing a pedalo at sea near the team hotel.
She's gone for four. Ireland have won. They've beaten England. England's World Cup future hangs in the balance.
The Bangladesh Tigers have knocked the England Lions out of the World Cup.
The Cricket World Cup 2019.
Guttall's going to push for two. They've got to go. It's got to throw. It's got to go to the keeper's end. He's got it. England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins. For England, agony for New Zealand.
So yeah, a 5-game 2020 series between England and New Zealand.
That's 100 overs each.
It's the 100. England and New Zealand played in the first 100 series. So 5-match series. No one in this country, at least as far as I can tell, really took much notice of it because they were all on at 2 a.m.
They were on late, weren't they?
Yeah, and while like a test match, if it starts at 2 a.m. you can catch the final session maybe over your bowl of cornflakes and a slice of toast. It's all done before you even wake up. So
what happened? Just run us through very briefly, right, if you wouldn't mind.
I'll go
we don't need to go ball by ball here.
No, I'll go match by match, shall I?
With
some key pointers. So I think going into it, there was probably some excitement in terms of the fact we got to see some of the new boys in action.
Who did we get to see?
So we had Saqib Mahmood.
Saqib Mahmood.
Lewis Gregory.
Yeah.
Pat Brown and Matt Parkinson.
Pat Brown. Isn't Pat Brown the name of the milkman in the Father Ted episode? No, that's Pat Mustard. Yeah, sorry. It's good, probably the best.
Same first name, different condiment.
Yeah.
So yeah, they all got a go. More on them later. So first test, England won comfortably by 7 wickets.
Mm-hmm.
They were chasing 153.
Wasn't a test though, was it?
Wow, see this is it. Oh, if only it were. First, yeah, thanks. Comfortably chasing 153. Bairstow, Vincent Morgan all scored runs, and Tom Curran bowled 4 overs 25, including a maiden.
That's good.
That rarity in T20 cricket. And Jordan took 2 for 28 of his 4. So they made an early claim for England's star bowlers.
Yep.
Second game comes around and it's New Zealand's turn to win, this time by 21. They're close-ish, but I guess, by the end fairly comfortable.
I think 21 is quite a long, a big defeat.
In 2020, I think it's fair. It's
well, I think if you are losing outside of the last over of the game, you've been soundly beaten.
Yeah. I think with 21, you know, there's a chance that it could have been tight throughout the game and then, you know, fall away at the end or...
Mm.
Anyway. So Guptill scored 41, Neesham scored 42. England's bowlers not really doing themselves particularly... Well, the new boys, anyway. Pat Brown, 0 for 32 off 2.
Not great, is it?
Welcome to cricket. Mahmood, 1 for 46 off 4.
Yep.
And Rashid was 1 for 40 off 4. They kind of undid Sam Curran's good work. He took 2 for 22 off 4 overs.
Yeah.
So he'd been pretty pissed. De Grandad, obviously stung by the loss of the first game, decided he was going to come to play and took 4 catches.
4 catches?
Yeah.
Was he wicketkeeper?
No.
I still can't go over the fact that they didn't bowl De Grandad super over. I still find it baffling.
Maybe by the end of the series they learn their lesson, or maybe not. We'll find out in a bit. Tim Southey and Mitchell Santner both bowled well in that one. Went for 25 runs. Took 5 wickets between them. Very good. Third game, a bit closer. Another New Zealand win, this time by 14 runs. And it was a bit of a classic England batting collapse. You know, what cricket series is complete without England falling to pieces?
I remember waking up, instantly putting on BBC Sport, that England collapse, and there's literally just that in life, isn't it? It's just like death, taxes, England batting collapses.
Yeah. So they were chasing 180, so yeah, there's scope for a collapse in there. De Grandhomme scored 55 for New Zealand. Mahmood went for 49 off his 4.
Okay, it's not great.
Not good.
So how many wickets did we lose and how many balls?
So we were 139 for 2.
Okay.
And then we were 149 for 7.
so it's not great.
No.
It's not great.
5 wickets for 10 runs. Milan scored 55, but everyone else fell apart. Never mind.
So David Milan is an interesting one because he was originally picked or then dropped by... Was it Ed Smith who told him that his batting was better suited to playing in Australia and New Zealand?
So he was the one who basically played best in that Ashes series, wasn't it? When we got trounced, he was the only one who actually put up a fight.
Oh yeah. I think it was, yeah. And
so at least that was based on some evidence. It wasn't just maverick genius.
Yeah, he's come back and been like, look, we don't think you can bat in England, but first time we're straight over New Zealand, he's on the plane. So he's consistent with his message. He's true to his word, old Ed Smith.
No, he's not, because he didn't go to the West Indies, did he?
Well, the West Indies isn't Australia or New Zealand, is it?
It's famously quick, though. I mean, like that's all they do at the moment, is Bob bounces at you.
And to be honest, New Zealand...
And he's not in a test team, is he? For the two match tests.
New Zealand is probably the country that we play away that's probably most similar in conditions to England.
So I don't really understand the selection then. maybe you're completely right. Maybe.
Well, it's 2020 and he is a bit of a 2020...
Yeah, David Milan is the number 3 ranked T20 batsman in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I've not played.
I've also seen that is true. Yeah.
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed not paying any attention to cricket for about a month.
Well, I think I had
no idea that. Was
I think it's because it's T20 cricket. I mean, frankly, I mean, how many matches has he played? David Milan could have played anything between 6 and 50 T20 matches for England, and I wouldn't be that surprised. 50 is probably on the high end, 6 is probably on the low end.
Yeah.
But if it were either of those, I'd be like, yeah.
Okay. Fine. I'm completely on board with what you're saying.
It's just
6 would be on the low end given he played 4 in the last month.
I just think, like, it's the ultimate throwaway sport, isn't it? T20 cricket. I mean, like, have you ever, like, what's the best T20 match you've ever seen?
When we lost to the Netherlands.
Okay. Oh, the Netherlands. Right, so if you take away the Netherlands and the final where Carlos Brathwaite just thrashed it.
Remember the name.
Yeah. Remind me of the details of a single other game.
There was one I saw, a Surrey game I saw a couple of years ago where Paul Sterling came out and smashed a ton in the first innings, and Middlesex posted about 210.
Can you remember like 3 other players from that game that had an impact either way?
Oh yeah, Aaron Finch and Jason Wright.
So that's
they came out and smashed it even quicker.
That's 2.
But Piers Morgan was just
Piers Morgan was
eulogising about Paul Sterling's 100 on Twitter. It was like, that's the best innings I've ever seen. Like, I defy anyone to do better than that. And then Aaron Finch just came out and was like, Alright, go on then.
I think we're fans of the IPL on this show.
Yeah, but I don't remember anything that happened today.
It's fast moving consumer goods, isn't it? That's what it is. It's like wonderful.
It's like a McDonald's. I know kind of who I'm going to get. Sometimes I go off the special menu.
It's generally enjoyable.
I've tried a fish fillet that was shit.
Yeah,
there you go. I don't know. I think that'd be like one of those games where a team gets bowled out for 60 for some reason.
Right.
But it's a pretty standard product.
All right. So Max, where do we get up to? Fourth game?
Test. Yeah. So
no, fourth test. Fourth.
Not
going
to make any better. I'm obsessed with the test tonight. No. Fourth 2020. Maybe they should just call
it T20 if you want.
Fourth T20.
Fourth match. That'll be fine as well.
Game.
Fourth one, 120, if you want to use ECB terminology.
So England, chastened by their collapse, then decided to go ballistic and posted 241 for three.
That's rather impressive.
Their highest T20 score. They won by 76. David Milan scored England's fastest T20 ton.
Did you see what happened to him after the game?
No, Jack, what happened to him?
He got told off by Owen Morgan.
Oh, of course, yeah, for not running a leg by on the last ball.
Last ball of the game, Sam Billings missed a bouncer, and David Milan didn't run. Didn't want to risk his not out to take the score from 241 to 242. And Owen Morgan said, we need team players here.
That is amazing. We fully know every single batsman in cricket is completely out for themselves. Yeah.
Cricket is not a team sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is...
Also, he's just scored like 130 or something.
Yeah. If New Zealand come out and chase 242 or whatever it was...
Not his fault.
Yeah. No one's sitting there going, if only he ran that single.
Yeah. We know what this game came down to. It was not the 241 runs we scored that we didn't defend.
It's the batting's fault, not the bowling and fielding.
Yeah. Not Sam Billings for missing the final ball of the innings.
No. This is four games in. Yeah. I've not heard Kane Williamson mentioned once. Where's he?
He's on a break, right?
Yeah, not playing. There's a lot of names.
So even he's not interested in the narrative.
There's a lot of names playing for New Zealand that I don't recognise. For example, Blair Tickner, who went 0 for 50 off 4 in that game.
Maybe a competition winner.
Yeah. I was wondering if maybe actually with that whole bye thing at the end that Morgan was just a bit sore because he could equally have scored England's fastest T20 ton, but fell on 91 or 41 balls.
Well,
yeah, it probably was actually.
Yeah.
Okay,
he's in it for himself, and he's pissed
off. So yeah, New Zealand were never really in that game. Matt Parkinson.
So it's 2-2.
Did take a 4-4.
It's 2-2, and this is where things get interesting.
Yeah. Now we've got a narrative. The last 5 minutes of the podcast has not been interesting.
Yeah.
Now we've got a narrative.
We do. It's all echoing. It's all echoing the summer. Picture the scene: Ben Stokes at Lord's with a consummate innings.
Well, I don't want to picture it that much detail.
All right.
Go
yeah.
On.
So
I closed my eyes, put my feet up.
So the fifth game was shortened to 11 overs aside by rain, a T11 or a 66.
Well, it wouldn't be a T11, would it? That'd be really
2011.
E11.
Yeah, a little bit unfair.
You're having a fucking nightmare with your match references here, aren't you?
Legs 11?
Was that a test as well?
Yeah, test 11.
T11 test.
Test 11. Isn't that a paralympic classification, T11?
More than likely, and you'd be in it.
Probably fair. For people who don't know what a test match is. So it was. I quite enjoyed the prophetic nature of NASA and Ian Smith's commentary. So I did actually see a bit of this when they replayed it at a sensible time of day on the Sunday.
Okay.
And they were going, it was getting to the point where England were like, you know, they might do it, they might not, like, not again. Please not again. I can't go through another one of these with you.
By the barest of margins!
NASA literally said that. It was taken a piece. He was just like, by the barest of margins, Ian. so that was enjoyable. And then sure enough, so England were looking sort of on course. They started really badly after New Zealand posted 146 off 11, which is pretty good.
It's better than you'd expect.
Yeah, and then England were 9 for 2, so not a great start. But
wickets don't really matter in short.
No, well, Bairstow hit 37 of 18 and Sam Curran hit 24 of 11. And suddenly it was looking like England might well do it. And then it sort of dried up towards the end, lost a couple of wickets. And basically, all came down to Chris Jordan, who came in with 3 balls to go and hit 12 runs to take it to a super over.
Probably an underrated player, I think, Chris Jordan.
Yeah. He's had a good series.
Yeah, he has had a very good series. And well, what I liked a lot about that Super Over business was just the New Zealand players were all just laughing. Like they all had massive grins on their face at the fact this has gone to a Super Over. And
you'd be happy to hear, Ross, that the granddad did play a part in the Super Over.
Oh yeah,
he didn't bowl it. He came in for one ball, got zero.
Yeah, so they're close to getting him into the right kind of action. If they just were to switch it round, give him the ball.
I think this kind of game, though, and I know it was shortened, but I think this is one of the reasons why, as a cricket fan and someone who watches a lot of other cricket, basically, I find T20 cricket a little bit
too long.
Not too long. A little bit pointless sometimes, because you invite the luck factor in to such an extent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, in this game, New Zealand's top three scorers, 50, 46, 39. England's top three scorers, 47, 24, 17. Yet they've kind of accidentally won the game because Chris Jordan comes out. I know, like, it's a team game and everyone contributes and so on. But it doesn't feel like, that is essentially a coin toss game.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know if that's told us who's the best there. That's just a lucky outcome.
Perhaps.
And I feel like this is the same. We can go
in
on
the same way. The last three balls of the innings were pretty bad from Tim Southee. Like, the last ball was a leg stump, high full toss that arguably Jordan should have hit for six.
Well, I mean,
and won the game.
Yeah. Well, no. All I'm saying is that I think these moments, because they're, I mean, like, he could have bought a really good ball there.
Yeah.
It's such an arbitrary time frame you're looking at. I mean, like, one ball in cricket historically has been a more or less insignificant event. If you look at like the best Test match bowlers, they're taking a wicket, if they're lucky, once every sort of 50 balls. So that kind of gives you an indication about what you should expect to happen in terms of action per ball, and then equally, every two or three balls they bowl, they might concede one run.
But again, it's a different game, though.
Yeah, and then, right, if you take 50-over cricket, you can see like a similar pattern. Like, it's hard to get wickets in that.
That's where the difference comes in, because people get and play more loosely.
Significance of one ball, well, the more you magnify the significance of each delivery, the less reliable outcomes you will get in terms of knowing who the best player is.
Don't people kind of like that? Don't people? That's the appeal of it. Like, people gamble for that reason for a lot of time. I think people gamble for the unexpected, right?
No.
Not professional gamblers, people who go,
I'm selling a pound on.
Yeah, how many accumulators have you done in your life?
Actually, I mean, like, basically, they did some research into this for your football, actually, and people don't really care what the outcome of a sporting event is what they found. They just like there to be a lot of the main thing.
Right.
So in T20 cricket, I suppose, you get a lot of the runs and you get a lot of the wickets in a short space of time.
Mm-hmm.
People essentially don't really care who wins that or whether the best team won. In football, the same thing. So you would think that as some of the leagues in Europe become a little bit more boring, you might say, so PSG keep winning in France and Bayern keep winning in Germany and Italy, and you get a polarisation of talent. You would think that people would get a little bit bored of that. But actually, as long as those teams are scoring loads of goals, people don't care. They're quite happy just to see a lot of the good thing. They're not like, oh my God, did you see that 3-2? They're quite happy to be like, oh my God, did you see that 5-0? Like,
dopamine is just getting hit.
Well, I don't know if it... I mean, it might not go down to that level, but like, there's essentially the popularity of a contest is not predicated around the unpredictability of it.
Okay.
Is what they found in sport, which is quite interesting. It's not the way I'd have thought.
Well, I'd imagine it enhances it.
I would have thought so as well, but I mean, this study said that it didn't for most people. I mean, I would prefer to see a less high quality team play another less high quality team and it to be 3-2 in a football match, or I'd rather see a test match between two teams and it goes on for a long time, but you get the ebb and flow and you see who the best team is, than see like that T20 where they were like 36s and like I don't know who hit them, but it went a long way.
Yeah. Back round to the final and the final Super Over, Max.
Yeah, another Super Over.
I mean, how did it end up?
Well, it was a little bit more decisive this time round. So Bairstow and Morgan came out and smacked 17 off the over.
That's pretty impressive.
And then Jordan did the business with the ball and took almost 8-1.
I think Chris Jordan basically sealed his place in the T20 World Cup squad.
I mean, he is a great death bowler. Like, he's bowled some seriously good super overs.
Well, I think in another one of the games he got a quick 25 or so. Yeah. He got 25 off six balls.
And to boot, T20 fielding is so important, and he is a gun fielder.
Yeah. And I think he was a fringe player until maybe even this five.
I think you look at the players who are coming in, and there's people who are like, even like Pat Brown and Seki Mood, even Lewis Gregory. Like, I mean, Lewis Gregory playing, did you see how many balls he bowled in that whole thing?
He bowled four overs.
If he played five T20s for England, he's bowled 24 deliveries.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, why is he there?
Yeah.
Yeah. What, maybe he's an all-rounder.
Maybe it was to average seven.
Look, what is he doing? Like, I just don't understand why you'd pick someone like him, who is an explosive batsman in the domestic game. He's at left armour.
I think that is the reason.
But yeah, but if you pick him, bowl him.
Yeah. He bowled four overs. That was it.
So, but to be fair, I'm not Owen Morgan, but I still don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the new recruits, all that in general, though, they did kind of struggle a bit. Like, Brown, Mahmood and Parkinson had the three worst economy rates in England's team. And like you say, Lewis Gregory only bowled four overs, so that was pointless. And averaged seven with the bat, which was joint worst.
Yeah.
So they've not really staked a claim for a place.
Parkinson did take six wickets in his six overs of bowling, though.
So. He did, but when he took four wickets, he went for 47. So
I'd take that.
And he was bowling against even England, in T20, scored 241. So
even in T20, where I think wickets are overrated, I think four wickets for 47 is a fair trade.
Yeah.
As long as it's not like 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, so we won. We won over again.
Another victory Fantastic. For England. What did we win? Which no one knows.
Pride, maybe. A sheep, yeah. Probably a sheep.
Okay, and then but that teases up quite nicely for obviously the coming year. We're not going to play any more T20 cricket. Are we playing any more in South Africa?
Probably. Tried to guess. I'd say yes.
Yeah, I think we've got a similar number of games in South Africa.
Yeah.
Well, that's all exciting stuff, lads.
you sound.
Should we do a quick before? I mean, rather than do this at the end, should we do a quick roundup of some other T20 that's been going on?
Yeah. While we're on the subject,
Australia have been winning lots. Is the headline?
Yeah.
They have been beating Pakistan and Sri Lanka easily. I don't think David Warner has been out yet.
Is that in Australia?
Yeah, he's absolutely blitzing it.
It's amazing, like, people who are kind of cricket fans or new cricket fans because of the summer, they should just look at David Warner as an example of what cricket's like.
Yeah.
Like, David Warner hit nothing, had the worst time in the Ashes, but before that was doing amazing at the IPL. Yeah. Nothing, and then back to it. That is just the ebb and flow of cricket, and just the... Sometimes the luck's with you, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you've got a little flaw in your game and probably just overnight something just disappears.
Sri Lanka should have made like a special request to temporarily patriate Stuart Broad. That might help them out a bit.
I think it also doesn't help that Pakistan are going through quite a serious upheaval at the moment in terms of their kind of cricketing world and cricketing philosophy. I'm sure it'll resort to what they've typically always done. Sri Lanka is shit. Like that's just it.
Yeah.
Like, but the fact that they're still playing 45-year-old and 45-stone Malinga is just ridiculous.
Do you want to know? This is quite funny. The score in the last of the Australia v Pakistan games. Pakistan batted all 20 of their overs for mm-hmm. 8. What do you reckon they scored?
Like 180.
Nope. Max.
157.
106.
What?
They batted all 20.
Yeah. Australia 109 for nothing. Chase it down in 12 overs.
That's it. So that is ridiculous.
That's shocking.
All 20 overs for 106.
And Pakistan, that's the thing. Pakistan's cricket is all about just being like the explosive nature
what
of it.
What is going on there?
And they are so good at T20.
Australia are now the number one ranked T20 team after all this.
Right.
Does Gary play in their T20 team?
No.
Gary?
I know Adam Zampa does.
Yeah.
And Adam Zampa deliberately wears black trainers. Like everyone else wears white cricket shoes, he wears black trainers when he's playing.
I think as Australians, type of a rare bloke. Rare unit. In other T20, India have been smashing everyone and West Indies beat Afghanistan. And that's T20.
Is it what? Is the well-being of my family in the back of my mind? I suppose there is a tiny ray of hope. That I may one day be given the privilege of playing for my country again. But I'm resigned to the fact that that may never happen.
Don't cry out loud, just keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings.
Apologies there, Max. I said that we were done with the T20, but actually, there have been some big events with some little teams.
Some absolute titans, yeah, have been qualifying their way into the 2020 World Cup, which takes place next October and November in Australia. So, yes, very recently, between October and November of this year, was the qualifying round for the Minnows to qualify for the first round of the 2020 World Cup. I'm sure that makes perfect sense. Ultimately, what that means is we have the Netherlands, Papua New Guinea, Ireland, Namibia, Scotland and Oman taking on the Titans of Bangladesh and Sri Lanka in the initial round of the T20 World Cup before the top eight teams join us for the finale.
Very exciting news. Congratulations to all of them. Papua New Guinea, I didn't know they play cricket.
Well, for once, it feels like the ICB might have got that format right.
ICC. International Cricket Board, I suppose. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so eventually got the format right.
Very good. That is the end of T20. I've had
Thank
enough of
God
it.
For that. Let's get into some proper cricket.
Well, or not some proper cricket. Another ICC decision. I think we should discuss this now before we bridge over to the test matches. Shakib Al Hassan has been banned from cricket for 2 years with 1 year suspended.
I was absolutely gutted when I saw this.
Yes.
Absolutely gutted. Like, one, what an incredible player.
Yeah.
Two, what an unbelievable dickhead.
Yeah. I always thought he seemed like such a nice guy.
Yeah. So basically what's happened is over the course of a few years, Shakib has been approached by someone called Deepak Agarwal.
Bad people.
A man known to the ACU, who are the corruption unit, as being someone who tries to corrupt cricket matches. This summer, or from January this year to through the summer, Shakib was interviewed about this and then the ICC came to their decision. The incidents themselves are alleged to have started, or did start anyway, in November 2017 when he received some WhatsApp messages, carried on through January 2018. In January 2018, he received some messages. They're pretty explicit. He says, do we work in this or do I wait till the IPL?
Well, Shakib sent it to him.
No, that's what the guy sent to Shakib. Mm-hmm. We don't know what Shakib sent back, but we know that quote. Work obviously being a reference to Shakib passing them inside information on his team's performance in that tri-series. Shakib didn't report that contact. On the 23rd of January 2018, he received another message. Bro, anything in this series? I don't know what... that's not how I would approach a player.
Sounds a bit desperate.
Yeah. Shakib again did not report that. During the IPL, he received some more WhatsApp messages asking him whether a particular player was going to be playing in the game that day. Agarwal continued the conversation, talking about how he might pay Shakib in either Bitcoin or dollars, and asked for Shakib's dollar account details.
So what I don't understand, Shakib has provided this information.
We don't know this. Shakib at this point told Mr. Agarwal that he wanted to meet him prior to any money being handed over. On the 26th of April, so this all happened in a fairly short space of time, the ICC found the number had been deleted. The IC found that a number of messages had been deleted. Shakib confirmed that these requests contained more information for inside information. Shakib's opinion was that Agarwal was dodgy, and he had a feeling he was a bookie. So if the cricket thing doesn't work out, a career as a detective probably beckoning for the great man. Shakib did not respond to the approaches, to those particular approaches.
It's just stupidity, isn't it? It's just stupidity. It's very clear, kind of the code of conduct when it comes to that stuff. All of the players get kind of seminars to go to.
Yeah.
They all get told exactly what to do if someone approaches them to do it. I mean, Shakib's one of the best players in the world, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, he's a senior player. There's no doubt about it.
And he's Bangladesh's best player by a long way.
Mm-hmm. No excuses, absolutely.
Yeah,
no excuses.
He's a role model. Yeah, I mean, you know my stance on cheating, so.
You love it.
Yeah. Michael Vaughan thought he should be banned for longer.
Of course he did, it's Michael Vaughan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
massive Vaughan-y.
I think there's one thing that's worse than cheating, and that is being Michael Vaughan.
Say what you think, Ross.
Anyway, so he'll be out for the World T20, and.
Oh, that's good. That makes the World Cup worse.
It does make the World Cup worse, yeah.
Who am I going to pick in my World Cup fantasy team now? Didn't think of that, did you, Shakib? Selfish.
Mohamed Nabi.
And I think in my World Cup review, I think I named him best all-rounder.
Well, I think he was.
Bastard.
He's good.
Not particularly...
he's good at batting, bowling, fielding, cool, and not reporting contact from dodgy people on WhatsApp.
All right, let's move on from this idiot.
England's have got some test matches, Ross, do they?
We are indeed, so we're staying in New Zealand and having a two-match test series. For some reason, which I just don't understand whatsoever, is that it's not part of the test championship.
It's part of the gap year, though, isn't it?
I mean, it's the England gap year.
We're learning about ourselves.
But does that mean that you can't be competitive during...
No, you don't work.
You don't want to accidentally sign yourself up for something you're not prepared for in a gap year, do you?
So you just, it's a bunch of friendly...
You don't want to go down Tesco's, get promoted once, and then suddenly you're a Tesco's manager for the rest of your life. You want to not work in Tesco's, go and sit on a beach in New Zealand for however long.
Yeah, that's essentially it.
Learn yoga.
Okay,
get your Dom Sibley yoga vibe on.
Namaste.
Nana Sibley.
Oh, Max is here. Max is here.
I'm not going to be tarnished with that. That's a disgrace. At least mine kind of worked.
What does Dom Sibley say when he's batting? Namaste here.
Oh, well, fuck. That's better.
It's not better.
Anyway, what wasn't better was when England, actually in 2018, posted their sixth lowest total in Test cricket history when we bowled out for 58.
Excellent.
So that's the last time we were there. We lost the series 1-0. Didn't really cover ourselves in any glory.
Yeah.
But this series, like, as you say, gap year, chance for new players to come in. As they don't count, you're kind of sitting there. They're warm-up games. They're warm-up games for the bigger prize. Mm. So New Zealand have got Australia in a 3-test series after us.
Yeah.
And then we are off to South Africa.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you couldn't pick a nicer team to go and play. Everyone loves playing against the Kiwis.
Hmm.
Especially England.
Smiley bunch.
A lot of the England team have come out and said...
Great meat and produce.
Great meat and produce. Great meat and produce. A lot of the England team have come out and said, yeah, we love playing against New Zealand. Of course you do. Like, there's no downside. Even when they're better than you, you still end up winning. But it is a classic case of talking about balls. Max, you know what I'm talking about. Dukes versus the Kookaburra.
Yeah.
I mean, is it actually a huge difference when you're playing in New Zealand, or is it not?
Probably, because the ball actually swings in New Zealand, doesn't it?
Oh, will the Kookaburra swing in New Zealand?
Well, probably not. Because the Kookaburra doesn't swing, apparently. I don't know, I've never bowled with one, and I can't swing the ball anyway, so I couldn't speak from experience, but
well, is it
I gather that the Kookaburra doesn't swing.
But is it again that why? Really? So do either of you know the logic behind the kookaburra being used in that part of the world and Duke's being used?
Because kookaburra is an Australian company.
And is that literally the only reason?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's quite disappointing. So was there,
they have a different ball, don't they, from India and the subcontinent.
I have no idea. I mean, they don't
read us or something. it's a different brand.
Duncan Fernley.
In the West Indies, they've got a special West Indian ball. It's like extra hard Duke's ball.
Oh, okay.
Mm. You can get it in Sports Direct for $8.99.
Oh, the bat breaker.
Yeah.
The bat breaker. Okay. We look at the two teams that are coming out. So with the Kiwis, they've got a pretty strong kind of lineup. Kane Williamson is likely to be back from his little
gap year.
His sabbatical.
Yeah, his little sabbatical.
Oh, it's definitely a gap year narrative to this, isn't it?
Yeah. We've certainly forced one in anyway.
Ross Taylor is going to be playing.
Yeah.
He's in kind of the final stages of his career now, isn't he? Is he like midlife crisis kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's got a way to Bali to find.
He's just up sticks and left his entire family.
Yeah, he's wearing a lot of hemp.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, he's wearing a lot of hemp. Shark tooth round the shark tooth necklace kind of thing. And then you've obviously got Tim Southee, Bolt, Neil Wagner's there. De Grandad's going to be playing. So there's some good players there.
Lockie Ferguson's
going to make a debut. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be maiden test. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the New Zealand Jofra Archer.
Yes.
So I'm not
apart from the fact that he's from New Zealand.
Originally. Yeah, I think England are going to lose this series.
So I mean, I've got an interesting. Staying on Lockie Ferguson for a second, I've got a really interesting fact about him. His actual name is Paddy. So it's not Patrick. It's not Lockie. It's Paddy.
Full on Paddy.
And he's called Lockie because of padlock.
That's dreadful. That's worse than any joke we've made today.
That's not a joke. That is literally why he's called that. How stupid is that?
It's awful. That's truly awful.
So you can only make it. You can only call someone that if you're from like New Zealand or Australia, could you?
Yeah,
it's a very Antipodean nickname.
I like how you've taken it up to such an extent that people just call him Lockie now. And
yeah, I mean that's what he's on the scorecard as.
yeah. All right. So the England team then.
Yep.
If you look at them, so. The projected lineup. Have you got a copy of that?
Yeah, Dom Sibley is going to be opening up with Rory Burns.
Yeah,
scored 100 retired out in the warm-up game.
He did. Zach Crawley is likely to be in at number 3 if Joe Denley, who for some reason is not retired, he should have done the honourable thing and retired at the end of the Ashes. But he's got an ankle injury, so Zach Crawley's likely to play.
He also scored 100 retired out.
I think Denley's going to be back from injury for this.
I hope not. The guy has no chance of being a century. He's absolutely pants. Joe Root coming in at 4 and has exclaimed that he'll be batting at 4 for the rest of his test career. What do we think of that?
Yeah, I think that was sort of the byproduct of a sort of a mindfulness class he went to in Thailand.
Yeah, classic Joe Root.
Yeah.
Wellness. You've got to love yourself if you want to love the world. He loves himself at number 4.
That's fine. Okay. So what do you think about? I mean, we started at the top of the show that he's an awful captain.
Yeah.
That he's one of the worst cricket captains going. How much is that going to affect what's going on in the next two games?
I can't see captaincy being the deciding factor in this series.
Really?
Yeah.
What is going to be the deciding factor?
I think it'll be the fact that. England are going to go into it having played 5 T20s and then.
So have New Zealand.
Well, that's true, but just.
Yeah, but they've played domestic cricket.
Most of them won't even have been playing.
Well, New Zealand are playing domestic cricket at the moment. England turn up and we play against two very average tour sides.
Yeah.
One of which we couldn't.
The classic under preparation effect of not really having a proper warm up.
See, that's why I did respect that about Australia when they came over to play here. Like they actually had a proper,
they had a proper schedule.
They had a proper tour schedule. They planned stuff in advance. They had players like Labuschagne go and play for Glamorgan, etc. England turn up, like two little test games and two little tour games.
I mean, it does help that like they could send Labuschagne and whoever over to come and play county cricket in Head because they're good enough to get in the teams. Like when we go to Australia, there aren't really that like. Our B level test players might not get a game in the Sheffield Shield.
No, they're going to play great cricket.
um, I don't know. I think they're the signing thing. I mean, if we want to run through the order, so Root at 4, Stokes at 5, Pope at 6 is what I think will probably happen. Butler, Wokes, Archer, Leach, Broad.
I don't think Wokes will play. I think it'll be Curran.
All right, Curran, Archer, Leach, Broad. I think the defining thing will be us getting bounced out by Neil Wagner in both games. Yeah, that's what he does to people in New Zealand. They what they do is they swing the ball all over the place for 20 overs.
And then bowl at your head.
Yeah, because the Kookaburra doesn't swing after that.
We can do Neil Wagner bowls 10 though. Overs a bounce. We've got the bowlers to do that.
No, we don't.
We've got Archer.
Archer will open the bowling.
Yeah.
We'll have Sam Curran coming on first change with a ball that doesn't swing. And they'll score 300, and that'll be enough.
And then Archer will come back on.
Tally one for poor Joe Root captaincy. There we go.
Right.
Where else is this going to come out of from the woodwork?
That's my prediction, is that we will lose 1-0. One of the games will be rained off, probably, because it seems to rain a lot in New Zealand. And Neil Wagner will bounce us out.
Well, Joe Root has come out and said that he's looking forward to playing some attritional cricket.
Well, he might be. When's that going to happen?
There has not been any evidence that England can possibly be attritional when it comes to batting. Like Rory Burns, perhaps.
He is the very definition of attritional cricket.
And what's your opinion on Rory Burns? So he kind of splits opinion in terms of cricket world. Well, I think he's a good opening batsman.
No point asking me, Ross.
I know you're a sorry player. sorry member.
Yeah.
But Rory Burns is a good opening batsman.
Yeah.
Now, I think people who don't see that are, well, closed-minded, don't understand the game.
What's their problem with him? Is it a slightly weird technique? Is it?
There's nothing wrong with a slightly weird technique, is there?
No, not at all.
There's literally nothing wrong with
that. Unfortunately, we spent a lot of time watching that over the summer.
People say that he's a little bit lucky. What would you say about that?
Well, you make your own luck, you know?
No such thing as luck.
Fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the jury's out to an extent on Burns still.
He
averages less than 30 in 12 test matches.
Yeah, but the first series he played in was in Sri Lanka, which was a bit of a weird way to come into your test career with, you know, facing spinners opening the bowling on bowls of dust bowls. You know, that's a bit odd.
And he's not playing at Taunton every week, is he?
And, you know, he came into an England team that couldn't bat for shit against a really world-class Australian attack and batted really well.
So that gone Ashes century?
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be all right. I think in the New Zealand series and the South Africa series,
yeah,
he's going to prove us right.
There's certainly no one there pressing a claim to replace him. So
very true. Interestingly, pressing a claim, so Johnny Bairstow was obviously left out of the test side, and much to the chagrin of the angry Yorkshireman. He's now been called up as a injury cover, so he's just going to get to stay out there, and he'll end up playing, won't he?
Absolutely ridiculous. Just ridiculous. What's Ben Folkes got to do? Like, honestly, what's Ben Folkes got to do?
Be better. Be better than he is.
But anyway, as I said, Denny shouldn't be there. Mahmood and Parkinson are both in the test squad.
Yeah.
So that's potentially a good chance for them to come into play.
Well, maybe, but we're playing two tests and they won't play the first one.
I thought Mahmood hurt his side and wasn't allowed to play anymore.
Oh, well, there we go. You know more than me.
But I think... he was named in the warm-up game but didn't bowl or bat.
Oh.
good warm-up, that.
I think it was because he hurt himself.
Okay, well, your passion for this two-match test series, I mean, I'm trying to inject it. You two are sitting there... down dumps predictions. I think a 1-1 draw.
I've said I think 1-0 to New Zealand. We're going to bounce out by Wagner.
Okay.
Who is the most underrated home bowler in the world?
Okay. And Maxi.
Well, let's go. What have we had? We've had a 1-0 and a 1-1.
Yeah, really difficult to remember that.
Right. So that's going to that leaves 0-0 or 2-0.
Well, it could be either way, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could be either way. 2-0 to New Zealand.
2-0 to
whitewash. Yeah. That will really eat into our points total, won't it?
Well, that wraps up the test side of things.
Do you want to, while we're on the subject of test, do you want to have a quick run through of the test championship?
No, because India are about 5,000 points ahead.
What I thought was quite funny. Not really funny, but like predictable that India, 5 matches, 5 wins. They're halfway through winning their 6th one. did you see... Who's the... I've had a mind blank. Who's the current South African captain? Is it de Kock?
No, Du Plessis.
Is it? Oh, it's still Du Plessis. I thought he skipped out for some reason. He wasn't happy after the series there, was he? He basically said that they should get rid of the toss in Test match cricket. Mm-hmm. And he's right. I mean, they were basically, India in all three tests, I think, won the toss, batted till tea the second day, put Australia in, South Africa in, third and the light was starting to going. Took three wickets, and then, like, that was it. Game.
Yeah, why are we even playing this?
So, did you see what AB de Villiers came out and said? No. AB de Villiers was interviewed about playing in India, so they were obviously struggling, and classically, the press in South Africa will always give AB de Villiers a ring.
Did he say that? Yeah.
And Mr. Messiah would turn up and be like, right, here's some opinion from me. He's around saying that India have such good relationships with the groundsman that they don't even ask the groundsman to prepare a wicket. It's just like, what? It's just like, you turn up and they put some lines on the ground and then you play. And it was just like, that is all they do.
Yeah.
And I was just a classic AB de Villiers. I mean, South Africa just beat England in the Rugby World Cup. So potentially there could be a bit of rivalry for us going there.
I think we want some revenge.
All right. So after India, though, do we know who else is doing well in the Test World Championship?
I assume. Well, England and Australia will be tied.
Nope, they're not in second and third. It's New Zealand and Sri Lanka. They played one.
Yeah, Sri Lanka, of course, played at home, didn't they?
But for no obvious reason here, perhaps someone can explain.
It was a two-test series, so they got a billion points each.
So you get 30 points each. But even England and Australia, they drew their series to all, and they've got 26 points each.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, so they're playing in a league,
yeah, right,
where the points aren't the same for a victory.
Not exactly, yeah. So, well, that's it. So you're supposed to be 60 points per series,
yeah,
and that gets divided up, but you get less points than half the available points for a draw. So if you think about this, yeah. So if you win, it's a two-match series, just to talk through this. If you win a test, you get 30 points. If you draw a test, I think you get 20 points.
No, isn't it 120 points for the series total?
Whatever, Max.
So, you'd get 60.
60, okay. But if you draw one, you end
up... You get 20.
You get 20 off.
Which is essentially the same as any test won for England or Australia in their five-match Ashes series.
No, but that also means that the draw in the England-Australia series means that they have less points than New Zealand and Sri Lanka, despite them both having won... Do you see where we're going?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And in fact, actually, I mean, like, I would count a draw as a more positive result than a loss. So if I would take, in five matches, I would take two wins and a draw over one win, one loss. I feel like a draw should be worth more than less than half.
It should be worth half.
I mean, is there prize money?
Anyway, it's not fair.
Is there prize money for winning the Test Championship? Like, I mean, the ICC absolutely rolling in it. So do you reckon there's a good amount of prize money?
Because
then would it just incentivise the likes of, like... Because if I'm Sri Lanka and Bangladesh or something, I'm still going, I'm just going to organise two match series against the people I can definitely beat.
Well, I think there's some rules against that, but... it's...
Sri Lanka have beaten Kenya again.
Basically, India are
going to win. Well, them not being in the Test Championship would make that slightly difficult.
Yeah, thanks, Max.
Basically, India are going to win. And it's going to be quite hard for England to win because we have to go to India and nobody wins in India.
Unless you have Monty Panesar and Graham Swan, which England don't anymore.
No.
Matt Parkinson and Leach.
Hey.
It's open season after that.
Okay. It's not looking... All good. It's not the Test Championship isn't working out as well as people thought.
Not if you like give arbitrary number of points for the same series.
Yeah, if you have a bunch of teams playing a different number of games against a variety of opponents with different number of points available for each game, it's probably not going to work.
That's why I just don't understand. Why didn't they just do it on a series basis? So you get X number of points if you win the series.
I don't know. Anyway, is that all we've got left in Test cricket?
That is Test cricket.
Thank God. Right, so, moving on. We love hearing from our listeners, so please follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Or if you have a great story, like Scotty G did, about The Hayden Way, Matthew Hayden's personal website, we want to hear about it. So from wherever you're from, send us in a great story and we'll read out on the show. Email us on thecricketpod@gmail.com. Thank you very much.
So turning our attention away from England now to some other fun cricketing events that have happened and some not so fun. I think the first thing we should start with is the big news that came out today, actually. Pavel Fleurin has been turned away by the Australian Department for Home Affairs from visiting Australia to what? Play a guest match for Surrey Hills Cricket Club in Melbourne.
That is an absolute disgrace.
They refuse.
Max, if he doesn't pass the point system, he doesn't get into the country.
Exactly.
How can he not pass the point? He's Pavel Fleurin. He's got points coming out of his ears.
Mate, the bloke has travelled, what? He travelled, what, 200 miles to play cricket in Romania? The guy doesn't have a proper job. What skills does he have?
He loves the one thing that Australians also love.
They don't love cricket, do they? They do it because they're good at it.
Yeah.
Forced into playing at a young age.
Shocking news.
That's what we can look forward to in the next few years, an Australian-style point system. That is actually quite disheartening,
isn't it? Like, he's been a figure of cricketing hope, I think is the way to put it. Mm. Yeah. He's everything that is right about the game.
Yeah, but you don't want him coming over and taking someone else's job, do you?
Taking someone else's place in that Surrey Hills guest 11.
In the fifth 11. They had a place lined up for him in the fifth 11, which is a transition team between junior and adult cricket where winning doesn't matter. And yeah, had he been there, he's in the way, isn't he, of
a huge coming through.
I mean, justice. He could be that. Could yeah? This decision could allow the next Steve Smith to come through, which just makes it even more baffling that they've stopped.
How dare they bring another cheat through the system?
Got enough of them.
Yes, that's. I thought that was pretty sad.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
That is a blight on cricket at the moment.
In news point number two, we like talking about the 100, don't we?
Oh, I love it.
Since our last podcast,
I go hula hoops over the 100.
They've drafted the KP Snacks Franchise Cricket League has drafted.
Have they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a little while ago. You missed it.
Did Chris Gayle get picked?
No,
he did not get picked.
The universe boss didn't get picked.
He didn't make it.
Malinga didn't get picked either.
So what I like about that is that someone at the ECB would have had to be in his ear going, come on, play for us. Come and play for this. Yeah. Come and play for that. And I reckon they must have spent quite a lot of money even getting Grail to be part of the draft. And then not to pick him at all is brilliant.
Yeah.
Didn't Dane Vilas go for like 150k?
Could have done.
Maybe.
Don't know.
He went second pick to one of the teams. And it's Dane Vilas.
It was a lot of picks of teams that are already in county cricket.
Yeah, so this is a thing that's happened. Sussex have lost 11 players.
Okay.
Surrey and Notts have lost 9. Quite a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Gillespie was basically like, "Yeah, we just have to sign a whole new team for the 6 weeks while that's on." Astonishing stuff.
Which I find weird as well, because I can imagine being at that point, so what, it's in August, right? The 100?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
I tell you what, Brighton isn't too bad in the summer. Like, if I'm one of those guys, I'm going to be like, I'd quite like to go and play for Brighton.
Yeah, but it's not in Brighton though, is it? What are you talking about?
Is that?
Southern Braves.
Yeah, they're Hove, right?
No. It's a Hampshire. The Hampshire Dome.
Oh, fuck that. No wonder. I thought it would have been at home. Yeah.
And also, even if it were at home, like, Sussex still wouldn't get those players, would they? They've been picked from the Sussex. So Luke Wright...
They get to
playing,
pick one local icon, but they can't have
who's
three.
Who's the local icon for them?
Archer, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Who was the... Or did Surrey have to pick Burns?
No, I think Middlesex picked Burns in. Surrey picked Jason Roy.
Smart decision.
Yeah.
Smart decision.
I think they also picked the Currans.
Sorry, my lack of knowledge about the Hundo is derailing this.
Oval Invincibles.
Yeah, sorry.
Not Surrey.
Let me ask you this question then, because this is important to ask. Which team do you think drafted the best set of players?
That would require me to know what the team drafted, Jack.
Can you give us some indications? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I am led to believe that the Welsh Fire have picked that team.
That does ring some bells, actually.
So they picked Johnny Bairstow.
Yeah, they got Tom Banton as well.
Tom Banton. Did they get Steve Smith?
Sure.
Right, let's get the teams up instead of just fucking guessing.
All right, so the teams are...
the team sponsored by Hula Hoops are X.
Is that the Manchester lot? Yeah.
No, Manchester is sponsored by Originals. McCoy's.
They do have Steve Smith. So this is their team then. Tom Banton, Ben Duckett, Colin Ingram, Steve Smith, Ryan Tendiscarta. Two people I've never heard of, I'm not going to read them out. Johnny Bairstow, Liam Plunkett, Ravi Rampal, 35-year-old Ravi Rampal.
What a pick.
Interesting. Mitchell Stark, Simon Harmer.
This side's unbelievable.
That's disgusting.
And Kais Ahmed.
Wow. That is
I mean, yeah.
Are you excited about the hundo now, Ross?
I'll go.
You're going to go?
Yeah, I'll go. Like, as much as it's going to be a ridiculous thing, you've got to be there.
Nope. No, you don't.
Why do you have to be there?
You're just going
to be on BBC.
It'd be absolutely hilarious to be there. Like, if you go to the first game of the hundo, no one's going to have a fucking clue what's going on. Even the organisers are going to be like, what is going on? They're not going to have a clue.
I don't want to give them my money.
Yeah.
Max, you go and watch Surrey play.
T20, yes.
Even they're not very good at that, really.
No, they're dreadful. But I'll go and watch it because I support my team and I like T20 cricket. I don't want to support the concept of the 100.
Are the Oval
Invincibles?
Invincibles, yeah.
The names are terrible, aren't they?
Yeah.
The names are terrible.
Yeah. Okay. What's your favourite of the bad names?
The Yorkshire Terriers.
They're not even called that, are they? They're called the Northern Superchargers. Why are they supercharged? No one knows.
Anyway,
Trent Rockets is mine.
Trent Rockets?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds like a really bad 1980s superhero.
We've made this joke. We're literally doing the last joke. that's drafted. Basically, people seem to come down on two sides for the draft. Some people, like Michael Vaughan, thought that it was really slick and an impressive show. And some people, like rational individuals, thought it looked like a terrible game show with people dressed in pyjamas.
Oh, I like a terrible game show.
Yeah, well, imagine a really terrible... On the topic of terrible game shows, and this is a tangent, has anyone seen Danny Dyer's The Wall on BBC Two?
No.
Check it out. It's unbelievably good.
What's it about?
It's Danny Dyer.
I've got that bit right. It'd be a weird thing if he wasn't involved.
Let me guess, there's a wall.
There's a wall.
Kevin Peterson's Antique Roadshow. Is Kevin Peterson on it? No.
Basically, two contestants go on this show and they drop balls down this wall, and at the bottom there are like amounts of money.
Wait, so it's like the 2p machines at the bowling alley.
A little bit like that. But if you get your question
that's Tipping Point.
If you get your question right, when the ball bounces down, you win money, and that could be between £1 and £25,000. And if you get it wrong,
you lose the duck's money.
So there's a whole MacGuffin where they put someone in a room and all sorts of.
Is Danny Dyer doing the kind of like the Craig Charles role that used to play on Robot Wars? Is he doing all the commentary as well as hosting it?
Well, no, he doesn't. Basically, what he does is he stands there and he doesn't even ask the questions. Someone else asks the questions. Like just a mystery voice asks the questions. What Danny Dyer does is sort of introduce the person and then sort of say things like, "Come on, Wall, be kind." And this goes on for sort of 45 minutes.
That's what you watched instead of the draft.
It's unbelievably good. I promise you, if there's any ECB people out there, they need to look into how they can integrate this into cricket.
Maybe they could do the toss that way for the hundo.
Well, that'd be quite a long toss.
Get Danny Dyer. Oh, it's all about
the
gimmicks, entertainment value.
Gimmicks.
Watch it. We'll discuss it next week or next podcast, because it's I think it'll be one of the cultural phenoms of our time.
Right.
Okay, anything else? So away from the hundo, because I mean, the hundo is, we don't care enough about it, we don't know enough about it.
That's not going to stop us talking about it.
I'd say we know too much about it, that's the problem.
Possibly.
You just don't like change, Max, that's what I think.
The
no, I pay most things by card these days.
God.
Goodness.
The final thing I had, and anyone else can chip in after this if they like. The New Zealand Alternative Cricket Commentary Collective.
Right.
Have submitted a legal claim. A request for shared custody of the 2019 Cricket World Cup. Would you like me to read it?
Please, I reckon this should be entertaining.
So, New Zealand, bottom of the South Pacific, are writing to England and Wales, next to, but not part of Europe, November 2019, shared custody request. Dear England and Wales, we wish to put you on notice of our intention to apply for shared custody of the Cricket World Cup. On the day of 14th of July 2019, a brief but passionate relationship was entered into at Lord's Cricket Ground that resulted in the full custody of the Cricket World Cup being granted to you. The dubious circumstance surrounding you being granted full custody is the basis for our application for shared custody. These circumstances include match drawn, super over drawn, misrepresentation of overthrows / figures. In addition, you already have full custody of Benjamin Stokes, which, as a sign of good faith, we will not be challenging. Our initial offer is to have the Cricket World Cup every second weekend and the first week of every school holiday, except for winter holidays, as that's when we have rugby. We believe that this is more than a generous offer, given the rather unfortunate circumstances you have left us in. The signing of the document will be a formal acceptance of the terms above, and then below they have signed that with a vacant space for Owen Morgan's signature.
That's neat, very cute.
Yeah, quite funny.
Is that why we're now touring New Zealand, so we can put a name on that signature, a signature on that paper?
So is that is that another podcast? Or is it like
Gorilla Cricket?
It's like Gorilla Cricket. Okay, cool.
They've got nicknames. They don't call any of the players their actual name. They've got names for them all.
Yeah, but instead of England,
like, no. But like, so instead of they call Jimmy Neesham the Stud, and they'll only call him the Stud.
Well, and everyone only calls him the Stud, not just.
And they call Kane Williamson Steady the Shup. That's why they wear the hats.
So you know
they wear the sailor hats.
Yeah,
that comes from the New Zealand Alternative Cricket Commentary Collective calling him Steady the Shup.
That is brilliant.
That is because he's the captain that steadies the ship.
I think we should start doing that on this show. Let's start calling the England players
more impenetrable.
It's
a discussion about Danny Dyer's reward. That's all I've got for this week. Has anyone else got any news?
Haseem Hamid.
Yeah.
Has signed a 2-year contract with Notts.
Has he?
Yeah, so he was released by Lancashire because he wasn't hitting any runs for their twos.
Right.
Got released, and then Notts have now signed him on a 2-year contract.
They've taken a punt there, haven't they?
Haven't they done that with a few players and it's paid off largely?
I assume so. Yeah. Like they did it
with Sibley?
Yeah, that was Warwickshire.
Whatever.
And I don't think it was as cut as dry as that. Dom Sibley.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that a punt.
Yeah, that was.
He was always quite good.
Yeah, that was Dom Sibley going, I'm really good. I want to play cricket. I want you to guarantee in the Surrey contract that you're going to play me. And they said no, because we had Kumar Sankara.
Yeah, fair enough, really.
Haseem Amla's apparently going to sign.
Yes, he's signed.
Has he actually signed now?
Yeah.
That's a good signing.
Isn't it?
That is a great
very
signing.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Do you reckon.
At the Oval as well.
I'm not sure. Is the beard a religious thing for Amla? Or is it just a beard that he's got?
Probably. I'm not going to get into that. Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to.
All I know, and I think it's a religious thing.
Okay.
But it might also be a personal choice to have it that long. All I know is it was really funny when remember when Dave Warner punched Joe Root in the walkabout bar.
Yeah.
His excuse was that Joe Root had one of those comedy afro wigs. And he put it on his chin. And so Dave Warner said that he punched Joe Root because he thought Joe Root was taking the mick out of Haseem Amla, and that wasn't on.
That is not.
That is 100% true.
That is possibly the worst excuse for anything I've heard in my life.
I'm so good. That, I didn't expect that. So that is amazing. We've got to finish on that note. Yeah. We have to finish on that note.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Jack. Goodbye.
See you later.
Bye.
Like-
Cricket Podcast.
I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.